This is the Walking Home from the ICU podcast. I'm Kaylee Dayton, a nurse practitioner and ICU consultant. I help teams create awake and walking ICUs through evidence-based sedation and mobility practices. By hearing from survivors, clinicians, and researchers, we'll explore how to give ICU patients the best chance to walk out of the ICU and go home to survive and thrive. Welcome to the ICU Revolution. The past few episodes have been heavy. Obviously, we have to address the challenges we faced and the damage being done to patients. Yet, we also need to focus on the incredible good we can and are doing. This episode is dedicated to successes. A few weeks ago, I was on site for gap analysis with the team. I was touring the unit to understand where they were at in their culture, equipment, beliefs, and sedation and mobility practices. I noticed a patient was on propofol at 50 micrograms. He was a large man, probably over 300 pounds, on a PEEP of 16 and 100%. The team told me he had overdosed on fentanyl and Xanax the day before and had been intubated overnight for severe aspiration pneumonia. He had been, quote, agitated, so they had to increase his sedation. Although the order was for RASS of negative 3, he was at a RASS of negative 5 at that point. In discussion with the team, we asked, why was he agitated? I suspected that he was potentially withdrawing from opioids and or benzodiazepines. I explained that it was valid to be concerned about his high ventilator settings, his behavior, and the safety for the staff, considering his size and drug history. Yet, if we kept him deeply sedated, he would quickly develop delirium and ICU-acquired weakness, which would create more risk for him and more risk for the staff if they had to care for him for days to weeks longer, then use extensive equipment and personnel to try to later mobilize him and try to deal with the confusion and agitation from delirium. His lungs would take much longer to get better and his settings would continue to remain high if we did not mobilize his secretions, allow his diaphragm to drop with being upright, and cause him to have diaphragm dysfunction under propofol. So we started scheduled oxycodone and clonopin down the feeding tube. Once that was absorbed, sedation was turned off around 3 p.m. He remained in RASS of negative 5 for perhaps 6 hours after that. Had we not asked questions, he would have remained on 50 micrograms of propofol until the next SAT in the morning. With his obesity, the propofol had already quickly accumulated into his adipose tissue, and so it would have taken much longer for him to metabolize that sedation if it had been continued without reassessment. The next day, he was awake, writing on a clipboard and ready to mobilize. On a PEEP of 16 and 100%, his SpO2 was barely 90% while laying in bed. Yet there was no real harm by seeing how he did sitting up. When he sat up, his anxiety improved and his saturations instantly increased to 93, 94%. I left him on a Friday morning and he stayed awake in the chair all weekend. He was extubated on Monday. This was a huge success for the team and eased their journey with his patient significantly. Those nurses that were nervous about starting this now are sharing their experiences with all of the team. I want to share with you incredible stories of many of you ICU revolutionists that have been sent to me over Instagram over the years. There are a lot, so I will jump right into them. First, quote, I was so proud of myself for starting something positive this morning. I'm in a COVID ICU that loves sedation. Patient came in from the ED and was already on propofol, Versed, and fentanyl. I moved her from the ER stretcher to my ICU bed and she woke up and started coughing. I was able to get that under control and coached her through everything. She had no clue what was even going on. She had an initial ABG with a pH of 7.1 and CO2 of 101. Once she knew she had a breathing tube in, and her arms had been restrained, she was so calm. I oriented her and told her that her family knew. I left with her on minimal sedation and threw the Versed out. The doctor would not give me Precedex, but it was a start. Day shift was able to talk with her and realize she didn't need sedation. I hope it's a start of a trend with this patient and someone doesn't come in and sedate her. She was on a FiO2 of 100% and a PEEP of 14. Next, quote, I started on a new unit today on a COVID ICU. I told my preceptor that I'm big on as little sedation as possible and walking patients if vented. She responded that we weren't able to do that with our folks. I had one extubated within 2 hours who was previously, quote, unresponsive after the propofol went off. The other made it into a chair around 1300. One of the PTs asked if I had ever heard of a program called Walking Home from the ICU that she highly recommended it. Thought you would like that part. Next, quote, I had a patient the other day who wasn't synchronous slash was double triggering with a vent. I had the perfect team that shift. The RT and PA worked with me. We decreased the sedation and adjusted the vent for the patient. And guess what? He did amazing. Great volumes, no restraints, talked him through everything I was doing. He ended up getting extubated on the next shift. Before that, he was intubated for 5 days, on and off propofol, etc. I am continuing to feel stronger about advocating for less sedation in my unit. I know we haven't talked in a while, but I wanted to let you know that I'm still 100% in this movement for better practice. Next, quote, response to a post about communication. I actually started doing this with a patient who started waking up yesterday after a month. He really appreciated being heard, and it was so good to understand him better. Next, quote, love listening to podcast and learning. I wanted to keep propofol off a patient who was intubated for respiratory failure tonight. He is alert and following all commands, writing sentences, and typing on his phone. The NP walked in and saw him writing sentences to me and said, quote, he needs rest, unquote. I started that to say that he was doing well and off propofol and was only requiring fentanyl for pain related to recent chest tube placement. She said, he needs to rest, turn the sedation up. I offered melatonin instead in hopes that we wouldn't have to sedate. I'm not well versed in what you all succeed in, but I am learning. Next, quote, people do not like change or going against the norm slash grain. Very sick patient on triple pressors, insulin drip at 65 units an hour, D20, D5 bicarb, and I have them off sedation and following commands. I've oriented her and made her aware of everything. Melatonin ordered last night and awake this morning with lights on and TV morning news. Family at the bedside, and we are doing range of motion. I love this. A nurse walked in and said, quote, why is she off sedation? Unquote. And before he could speak, she said, if I have a breathing tube in, I'd better be sedated. Well, baby steps. Next, quote, I literally walked a patient 1,000 feet the other day, and the day previous, the note from the PT said something along the lines of, quote, patient receiving dialysis will check back, unquote. But they never checked back. I walked him and literally his success cured his depression instantly. He was able to see that he could actually do it. He had been super down and negative and boom, he was happy-go-lucky. Next, quote, I love it when I get patients where I can strut my stuff. We intubated a patient 2 nights ago that was already struggling with delirium. Intubated and bronched. After the bronch, I asked for Presidex. Weaned off propofol and had him on 0.5 of Presidex the past 2 shifts. Normal sleep cycle at night and lights on in with the morning news. I educated family on your podcast and what my goal was. Oh, it feels so good. Family was literally like, quote, wow, this is an amazing concept. Every patient I get to do this with, I always want to bring in your podcast. I'm not walking into beta patients yet, but I'll get there one day. Next, quote, one of our PTs, she came from an academic center where she worked only in critical care. She started with us just as COVID hit. Her mentality from day one was, quote, let's get them up. And with our ECMO patient, the biggest barrier was CT surgery's approval. Once they felt like we could do it safely, they gave us the okay. It was magical seeing a patient sitting in the sun while on ECMO or doing laps around with his entourage. We all felt so energized and full of purpose. Thank you so, so much for all you do, knowing the amazing ripple effects you're having. Next, quote, when my intubated patients are awake, I have such an easy time understanding what they need, whether it's needing to use the bathroom, wanting to be suctioned, feeling anxious, etc. It's always so much easier to communicate. When I first started diving deep into this, I started noticing that delirious or confused patients had such a difficult time understanding what was going on. Then I began realizing that patients I was waking up after coworkers had, quote, snowed them, just needed constant reassurance and reorientation. Once they were awake, lucid, and the confusion about why they couldn't drink or why they had a breathing tube in became clearer, I often tell patients when I first wake them up not to get too stressed about having a hard time communicating at first. I tell them it can be really stressing not being able to clearly tell me what they want. I love family being involved at this point because they know them best. Whether it's using the whiteboard or picture board, once they are able to communicate, I notice anxiety and agitation decrease immediately. Next, quote, another commenter said, yes, especially because they don't understand how bad the norm is. One of my most rewarding moments was when a family member remembered me and said she was surprised the first day I met her and her husband saying, quote, "We are getting up today." Other people who cared for this patient ended up following suit, which was awesome. But it was an amazing feeling to be the first one. She was nervous. I mean, her husband was on ECMO, but he did amazing. I have a post on that patient in my Instagram. His physical therapist and occupational therapist at rehab said they were shocked at how much he could already do. I watched him walk up the steps to the bus his family rented to take him back to Florida without assistance, and I was so happy. I know we could still have done a lot more with him, but we have to start somewhere. Our unit is very stuck on sedation and immobility, so that experience helped to solidify how important this is. Thank you for all your dedication and information. Next quote, rounds this morning, attending, quote, "We'll keep her on the fentanyl drip for now." New grad being converted to the ways of no sedation, quote, "She hasn't complained about pain for me, but do you know what else works for pain? Tylenol," unquote. Now she's awake and can report her that she isn't in pain, so when we went back in, we wasted the fentanyl. And I was like, yes, girl, wake them up. Next, quote, "Literally having an emotional breakdown in my car about this right now. My patient made an honest to God miraculous neural recovery, and we worked so hard to get her off sedation and sleeping last night. This morning, I had her up at the side of the bed while on the vent, and she was so grateful to be out of restraints that she just hugged me and cried. Totally oriented, even using sign language to communicate. The first thing the day shift nurse says, quote, oh my gosh, where are her restraints? Unquote. I explained the situation and stressed the fact that she was ready to do an SBT. This conversation was at the bedside with a patient who was interacting with us. After I left, I realized I'd forgotten something and went back only to find the nurse I had given report to pushing fentanyl and putting on restraints. My patient looked terrified, confused, and most of all, betrayed. I can't get that image out of my head. I haven't stopped crying. I ended up getting a very trusting attending involved with the nurse manager. I understand these are scary situations for nurses and it's pretty high risk, but whoa, that was horrifying to watch. I'm also coming to realize that with these patients that I'm taking sedation off of on the vent, that there is a golden window of opportunity to either extubate or trach them before the ventilator complications start coming up, which is what's so upsetting to me. She was doing so good and she wasn't ready to walk by any means, but she's a human being. She has rights. This is another one of those small community hospitals, and you know how skeptical I was about all this stuff starting out. I honestly felt like I was toeing the line of being hostile at first because the idea was so scary to me. But the research is there. And the first time you see a patient awake on the ventilator and just thriving, like you can see them healing. It is so magical. Ventilators will always be necessary, but they don't have to be permanent, you know? Next quote, context. My intensivist rounded at 2 a.m. one day and my patient said she wished she could play in the snow. So me, RT, and the tech walked her outside on the ventilator because her order said, quote, up to chair, advances tolerated. But when the intensivist came around and saw the empty bed, he had a heart attack and thought she had died and we had taken her to the morgue. He found out what we were doing while we were making snowballs. I had a spare pair of gloves and she stayed in the doorway so her feet didn't get cold. He came running down and was like, this is not what advances tolerated means. And my patient freaking got him with a snowball. Feisty little old lady. Best night of my life. Next quote. Also, mind blowing what happens when you intubate and don't immediately sedate afterwards. Holy dang. So much easier to have patients who don't need to be reoriented after sedation than it is to wake them up from sedation. Next quote. My intubated ICU patient tried to tell us we should incorporate swimming into therapy. Quote. What's the worst that can happen? I drown? I've got a snorkel built in, unquote. Next, quote, also something I saw recently, patient found down in the street, awake, flailing, struggling to be sedated. I came to get report and I asked the patient, what's wrong? And they pointed with their mitt at the meds and I was like, all right, I'm going to let you write, but don't pull this tube out. And all this poor patient wrote down was, quote, risperidol, all in caps, and which point I said out loud, oh, shoot. 12 hours later, we had a calm, unsedated patient. Next quote, my lanyard may have all these drugs and names on it, but I'm super proud to say I didn't use any of them today. Instead, I weaned sedation and stood my vented patient out of bed. Mobilization over sedation. Next quote, my team just got out their third patient up to the chair. It was a 77-year-old female, vent day 6, history of lung cancer and resection with curt pneumonia. I had had her the past 3 days. First day, I worked on getting sedation off and on controlling her anxiety. By day 2, I sat her at the edge of the bed but required max support to sit her upright. Day 3, she could hold herself upright but quickly tired out and was able to remove restraints. Today I'm off, but my coworker, who is part of my small mobility group, has her and got her up to the chair twice. Still intubated, but each day tolerating longer SBTs. She says she can breathe better sitting up. Imagine that. Next quote. That patient got extubated today after failing 4 breathing trials. We had her up to the chair twice yesterday, but her weaning index was borderline and was still having low tidal volumes. So our doctor thought she needed one more day. This morning, my coworker got her up at shift change. They did her breathing trials and her tube is gone all before morning rounds. Everything makes so much more sense. She was able to clean her mouth and suction herself, use the bedside commode, pick music on her phone to listen to, FaceTime her family on her own, and just wave or gesture to them, just letting us know her needs, etc. And she finally slept a full night's sleep because we physically tired her out, not chemically closed her eyes. Next, quote, I also took care of another man who had been intubated / extubated 3 different times during the past month on our unit. Next intubation would have guaranteed him a trach. Almost 500 pounds, took 4 of us to get him to the chair on the first day without PT, and by the next day was a strong 2-person assist. Everyone was so surprised to see him sitting up in a chair, finally starting to feel like I can make a difference in people's long-term outcomes. Next quote, today I was finally able to get my intubated day 11 on vent patient standing at the bedside. Next quote, we seldom do sedation, except for ARDS, lung protection, or neurological symptom control. Next quote, we have started a project in our ICU to work on mobility. We have been mobilizing more and more patients on ventilators. It is so inspiring to see. I had a patient all week, intubated, no sedation, no restraints. New diagnosis of myasthenia gravis, so very weak, but able to stand up with PT and OT every day and sit edge of bed for 15 minutes. She was totally in control of her care still. She had push doses of fentanyl if she needed it, but she decided when and if she wanted it. Incredible and so inspiring to know that we are making a difference for these patients. I'm also precepting. Next, quote, critical care OT here. Had a patient that was intubated / sedated for 8 days, extubated, then 30 minutes later, re-intubated, planning trach / PEG to LTAC. 2 doctors said no to turning off sedation and therapy involvement. I finally found one that would hear me out. Day 1, sat edge of bed, O2 better than it had been before. Day 3, standing. Day 5, walking to chair, extubated. Day 8, to regular floor, walking 30 feet. Day 14, discharge home. Family was eternally grateful. All it takes is one yes to change minds. Next, this quote is from Heidi Engel. A very good ICU rehab day. All 5 of my patients on ventilators out of bed, 4 out of 5 walking down the hall with family assisting me. 5th patient on the ventilator dancing in room with her daughter. Such a relief to have A to F bundle be involving family again. Next quote. I am in a PT at a large level 1 trauma center in upstate New York with 8 adult ICUs. In 2015, we did our own early mobility trial with 1 PT designated to one of the MICUs and 1 PT designated to the SICU for a whole year. We had support from the director of adult critical care who educated the MDs and mid-levels on the importance of early PT / mobility, so we were able to get the necessary orders on patients more easily. The goal was to see every patient every day, if not twice a day if possible. Over the year, we tracked data and our results aligned with the already established literature that early mobility decreased morbidity and mortality in our patients, decreased ICU length of stay and overall hospital length of stay, and ultimately, we saved the hospital upwards of $820,000. This information was presented to the Hospital Budget Committee, and we were able to increase our budget to hire at least 5 to 6 additional PTs at the time to staff every ICU with their own PT. Since then, the hospital overall has appreciated our value and increased our budget incrementally, such that our PT department has grown from 19 FTEs in 2015 to over 40 FTEs currently in 2022. We are significantly busier today than in 2015, but still, we are moving in the right direction. New York ICU started rounding with, oh, sorry, this is next. Different comment. My ICU started rounding with PT, an OT, RT, nursing, and an AP. It literally takes 15 minutes. We talk about how each patient is moving, our mobility goal for them that day, and if they need therapy orders. It is a great way to build relationships and has already opened the doors to mobilizing more intubated patients than we have ever done before. Next, quote, newish grad PT here who's routinely covering the ICU at my mid-sized hospital. Mobilized my first intubated patient last week and it was amazing. Big shout out to the nursing staff, RT, and the critical care AP who's pushed for early mobilization and sedation weaning that's going to facilitate me doing this more often. Next, quote, in our 32 ICU beds over the last few weeks, we have had only 1 to 2 patients on infusions. This is already a great stride. We've had to bring the extra physical therapist to the ICU many days because we have never had this number of patients getting PT. Thank you for your engagement. Next, quote, we are implementing small changes throughout our intensive staff, which are giving ripple effects across our 4 hospitals that we staff. I'm on shift right now, and we have 15 patients on service, 5 on the vent. Only 1 is sedated because he has been seizing. The other 3 or 4 are awake and interacting with us, writing on paper for communication, able to move themselves. We walked a patient on the vent last week, and everyone jumped in without hesitation. We are making great strides. Next, quote, communication absolutely helps. Allowing people to express more nuanced things they're experiencing. One patient yesterday was able to write and tell me the reason she kept grabbing her endotracheal tube was because it was gagging her, but if she took off a tiny bit of pressure, it relieved the sensation. Her being able to express that relieved our anxiety and to realize, oh, she's not trying to self-extubate, and helped us to know how to help her. I thought of all the ways this could have gone wrong without her ability to share that, such as ending up restrained, sedated, etc. Next, quote, we finally did it. After meetings and emails and sedation barriers and dated practices and pleading my case, we finally walked a patient with a vent today. This is the message he wrote us, and she sent me a picture, and it says, quote, thank you so much for being so good to me. I love you, unquote. Our jobs can be so gratifying when we practice patient-centered, evidence-based care. Next, quote, I've seen intubated patients ambulating successfully. It was incredible. At our rural ICU at the time, it had received many cardiac awards. We had a truly incredible team from all different capacities. Case by case, we all know ambulating as soon as the patient is safe and stable is best. I say it every day at work. If we are not doing what's best for our patients, what are we even doing? Next, quote, just wanted to say things came full circle. I ended up septic in the ICU after a cat bite and on a vent after my surgical washout. I specifically requested to be awake and no one really knew what to do about that. But I explicitly stated before surgery that unless I was not tolerating the ventilator from some sort of pulmonary reason, that I should not be sedated. I requested no benzodiazepines for induction because after seeing the results of immobility in the ICU, I was terrified. I almost made myself a DNI because I didn't trust the ICU not to sedate me, but I was okay. Here are some hot tips. 1, don't reposition the tube too far to the side when you're switching position. That makes the patient gag. 2, 30 degrees or higher isn't enough. You still feel like you're choking. 3, ETT correct placement is key. Mine was a little too high at first and it was miserable. 4, they let me sleep on my side. I had a Yankauer section that I used myself, but sleeping on my side helped so much with keeping my hand elevated and also sleeping comfortably. Next, quote, I love when I finally get my patient awake and calm enough to ask if they're okay to be more awake and not sedated with the endotracheal tube, usually to prove a point to whoever is in the room with me. No one has said no yet and usually gives an enthusiastic yes nod. Next, quote, yes, I show nurses how to help position vented patients on their side comfortably with pillows for sleep all the time. It makes such a difference in the quality of their sleep if they are normally side or belly sleepers. And we all know how important sleep quality is for pain management and delirium prevention. The nurses are always surprised in the difference it makes. Next, quote, how about the ER resident insisting my post-arrest needed, quote, propofol anesthesia for pain control, unquote. Patient was following commands, off pressors when I stopped propofol to do a neuro exam. Furthermore, the patient shook her head no that she wasn't in pain. Funny. The doc thought propofol was for pain and that being intubated was more painful than seeing her family. And lastly, she had a non-recoverable neuroinfarct from the arrest. Next, quote, we looked at 108 patients following a less than robust protocol than the one you suggest and still found decrease in length of stay from 5.7 days in the ICU to 1.5 days in the ICU. Yes, that's a 75% decrease. And I will say that that's a CVICU. Next, quote, you best believe that on my non-ECMO patient day, I helped OT and PT stand them. Then I got a gift of a solid CNA today. She's standing with me in CNA just now. And we said, F it. I asked her if she could walk. She marched in place. We sidestepped the recliner. Swan, CRRT, all of it. She's happy and dang it, I'm happy. Next, quote, just love it when I start my day at work by getting an agitated patient from getting zonked out with Versed just by helping them sit out of on the edge of the bed and stand up a few minutes and surprised the heck out of my medical team and nurses on how calm and reasonable he was after this. They were also shocked to see how easy it was for him to get up. He's a large man, so there were assumptions that he couldn't move well. We had a great education moment for everyone first thing this morning. Next, quote, my patient went from high flow to 2 liters nasal cannula. Great example of the power of all things mobility. He's on an LVAD. Next, quote, oh, and this one's from a team that participated in webinars. They said, oh, we have gone live with our ICU liberation, and so far, we have had sedation off of most of our vented patients. It's a small sample size, so we haven't had many, but still, our patients have been so much more awake. Next, quote, I walked into the CT ICU this morning and the overnight charge nurse excitedly told me that the nurses weaned off sedation on a patient day 3 of mechanical ventilation after heart transplant, FiO2 100% and PEEP of 12, sitting in chair off restraints. I think this is our first patient to be off sedation on this high of settings. The patient otherwise is just chilling. Next, quote, I just received a message from an RN in our hospital telling me that she walked a patient on a ventilator in the room, and she was so proud and happy telling me that I will be happy too. Even the other nurses told her, quote, you're crazy doing that. The patient was so happy asking her to stay in the night to walk her again. If you've been listening to this podcast, you're likely convinced that sedation and mobility practices in the ICU need to change. The ICU community is facing incredible difficulty with the trauma from the pandemic, staffing crisis, and burnout. We cannot afford to continue practices that result in poor patient outcomes, more time in the ICU, higher healthcare costs, and greater workload for the ICU team. Yet the prospect of changing decades of beliefs, practices, and culture across all disciplines of the ICU is a daunting task. How does this transformation start? It can begin with a consultation with me to discuss your team's current practices, barriers, and to formulate a plan to help your ICU become an awake and walking ICU. I help teams master the ABCDEF bundle through education, consulting, simulation training, and bedside support. Let's work together to move your team into the future of evidence-based ICU care. Click the link in the show notes of this episode to find out more. Next, quote, hi, I feel like I have to share. I became an RN at the beginning of the pandemic and went straight into a MICU residency. It has not been part of the unit culture, you could say, to get patients up and walking around, especially not intubated patients, since I've been here. I somehow stumbled upon your page at least a year ago and now always have it in the back of my mind. I've started bringing up early mobility plans every day during rounds, trying to normalize it as part of our conversation. I try to push myself every day to do something with mobility that is out of my comfort zone. The other day, I had a patient who was on an SBT and having a particularly hard time thrashing and shaking, not tracking well or following commands, pulling at restraints. Your voice, or posts, I guess, were in my head. I said, if I give you a whiteboard, can you write and tell me what's wrong? She looked at me dead in the eye and nodded, yes. Then she wrote the word cold. I got her warm blankets and we extubated successfully only a few minutes later. My training taught me that restraints are the key to safety, but my patients keep showing me that movement and mobility are the key to progressing their care. This was such a special moment, even if it was a small moment on the scale of everything you show on here. Just wanted you to know that you inspire me and I look forward to a future of mobility in ICU care. Next, quote, to preface this was a nurse on a unit that I had worked with on site. This nurse hadn't listened to the webinars beforehand and was very concerned and doubtful when he suddenly had a patient on a PEEP of 16 and 100% or 90% awake on the ventilator. The patient had baseline cognitive and hearing deficits, PTSD, and very poor coping mechanisms. Communication was difficult, and it took a lot of work and patience on his part to write everything out for the patient to read and then try to read the patient's writing. We got the patient to the chair, and immediately the patient's anxiety improved, and vent settings went down to a peep of 10 and 50%. This nurse was a culture leader, so everyone was worried that he would have a terrible experience with this exceptionally challenging patient. But the next day, he came to us and said, "Yeah, that was the hardest, but the best shift I've ever had. I feel like I actually did something for my patient. I'm in. Who else can we do this with? I'm all in." So then I get a text from one of their PTs, and she said, "Kaylee, that nurse sent his intubated patient with an open belly to surgery with her sunglasses on and bagging herself. It was maybe one of the best parts of my day." And I've seen this repeatedly. Some of the biggest skeptics become the biggest advocates. Okay, next quote. "I kept thinking, if all these people can get patients on ventilators out of bed, then why can't I? I went to work and got my first ventilator patient on her feet without a sling and got to the chair. Woman in her 80s who won't have to be conditioned after being on the vent for a prolonged period of time. It's the most fulfilled I've ever felt in this job. I went home and bought stuff for the shower room at work to get people up into the shower with. This is super important work." Next quote. This is from a speech language pathologist. "Another win, after months of planning and pleading my case, placed what I think was the first inline passing mural valve to ever be used in my hospital yesterday. The patient told his wife he loved her after 3 months on the ventilator. We all cried a little bit." Next quote. "Come in to find a patient on 35 of prop for quote agitation today. Managed to work it down and then get it off. Got PT and RT together, sat at the edge of the bed and stood. So much more fulfilling. The patient did really well and then asked to lay down and take a nap." Next quote. "Humble brag here. Nursing and therapy together mobilized 3 out of 3 of our appropriate vented patients yesterday. It was awesome." Next quote. "Interacting with family. Yesterday, I dangled a patient who had been really lethargic, but I had the family member sit directly in front of the patient as I was off to the side so the patient could primarily focus on their family member instead. Got a lot more out of them and much more alert." Next quote. "I'm an OT and try to tailor out-of-bed activities as much as I can to be fun and also cognitively stimulating. I bring a deck of cards to play. If they are into arts, I will bring them craft items, functional teaching activities. We also have a Wii that we bring in sometimes to have the patients play. The options are endless. All working on sitting tolerance, balance, cognition, coordination, upper extremity function, and more. We try to make ICU fun." Next quote. "I've been following you for a year while earning my BSN. I just started my new grad ICU program, and I'm so excited that I found out today that my new ICU is an awake and walking ICU. I could not be more thrilled." Next quote. "I've been working so hard with PT and OT on doing mobility on my intubated patients. The other day, we had intubated patient slow dance on the side of the bed with her husband. Brought tears to my eyes." Next quote. "Admitted 6 days, walking with PT, but only doing oral care in bed. Stood at the sink, brushed teeth, washed face, feels amazing. Patient said, quote, man, I feel a bit like me today. Made my day. One of my favorite things is the, quote, problem patient who really just needs someone to treat them like a patient. Brush your teeth normally, wash your hair, see some sunshine, let me poop in a real potty. The patient who I get because I'm a big stern male nurse is just tired of being a patient for over 30 days. Early mobility is a great way to help them feel normal." Next quote. "The first thing I ask myself when I see a sedated patient is, does this patient have an indication for sedation? There are very few indications for sedation." Next quote. "Just wanted to let you know that today we, as an OT, PT, RT, and RN, walked a patient on the ventilator for the first time in our hospital. It was awesome. He danced. He gave hugs. His nurse was super stressed about doing it at the beginning of the day, but by the end, I think she's really glad we did it. The patient is excited to do it again tomorrow." Next quote. "Today we had a patient with an open abdomen, intubated, walking on the unit. The hope and life this practice has given my nursing staff has been the best cultural shift. We've had our hiccups, but every day is a step forward. The best part, patients are getting better. Length of stay is decreasing. Happies, VAPs, etc. are all decreasing. It's all for the greater good." Next quote. Had my first patient yesterday that made her own decision to stop treatment while on the ventilator. The family and medical team all listened to her and gave her space and time to write during the family meeting. Refreshing to see an intubated patient listened to and not deemed incapable of making their own choices. Next quote, I've had many patients who are awake and fully interactive on their ventilators. My favorite story is of a young man I've cared for on a ventilator. He played classical piano while ventilated. Next quote, all my intubated patients mobilized out of bed today. All were seen by PT during SBTs. All were successfully extubated within an hour after PT and passed their SBTs beautifully. Major win for our ICU. Our intensivists were so happy and in awe. Co-treated with RT for all of them. Took me 11 months for this early to earn this level of trust and respect from our ICU team. The nurses were stunned and were all talking about how amazing it was to see this. They all told me afterwards they thought PT would agitate the patients more, but it had the opposite effect and they were so happy. Next, quote, had a patient out of bed within 15 minutes of extubating today. The fellow was stunned. Next, quote, today my podmate had a patient who was trached and had been in the ICU sedated for 11 days. She was trying to wean his sedation for LTAC and he was, quote, wigging out, unquote. I went into the room because the vent was alarming and he was trying so hard to get the mitt off his hand, but he was too weak and his eyes were still kind of rolled up from all the sedation. I reminded him why the restraints were on and reoriented him. He mouthed, quote, I won't touch anything. Please let me take it off, unquote. I was surprised he was so coherent, but I was also nervous of the patient's nurse because I already heard her telling family that we would not be removing restraints. I took the right wrist and the mitten off, and his BP immediately dropped 50 points from 200 to 150. I gave him a pen and a whiteboard that I keep in my locker. He couldn't write, but the motion and his family members allowed us to figure out he was asking about his kids. I stayed in there for a while because I was nervous to leave the restraint off without the nurse. The nurse came in and saw he wasn't messing with the stuff and let him keep the restraints off. Honestly, it made me sad, the whole situation, but I was glad from what I've learned from the podcast that I helped him anyways. And then the nurse changed her mind and put the restraint back on. Next quote. The other day, the nurse came up to me and said that I'd be so proud of her. I asked why. She said, because I took my patient off of 50 of propofol and he's awake on the ventilator on only fentanyl. I couldn't believe someone actually did something different after I talked to them about what I've been learning. Next, quote, I stood and did some steps in place with an intubated patient on assist control vent settings who also sat in a chair today for an hour. I did it all by myself and she did great. I also bought a few whiteboards and gave her one. After she got back to bed with PT, I went in the room and saw she wrote on her whiteboard, quote, I sat in the chair for an hour, unquote. She was so happy. I told her she was my first orally ventilated patient that I had seen in my life stand and get into a regular chair. I barely had to help her. She was so happy. She did a dance in the chair. I was so happy. I ran around and told the whole unit. I also have gotten a lot of buy-in and now have a goal for our MedSurg ICU to become an awakened walk-in ICU by December of 2024. All the hospital leaders are on board. Next, quote, I gave all of our intensivists a copy of Dr. Wes Ely's book. A few days ago, one of the intensivists made a big announcement during ICU rounds and told the nurses they needed to be mobilizing their own patients and shouldn't only rely on PT to do it. This week, I've had several nurses coming up to me asking for recommendations and how they can mobilize their patients alone. I saw so many ICU patients walking with their nurses this week in the halls. It made me so, so happy. Next, quote, I want to thank you so much for your content. My hospital is moving to awake and walking intubated. Apparently, it's a slow process. I had a patient the last few days intubated and on 7 of Levo. I assessed him in the morning and turned off the propofol and fentanyl and was able to wean off the Levo over the next hour. He asked to walk, which I told him I couldn't because he was on Levo prior to my shift. With a great PT, we sat him on the side of the bed. His sedation was off my entire shift. Night shift got there, quote, educated the patient and the family that, quote, being off sedation when intubated is harmful to the esophagus, unquote, and immediately put him back on sedation. Yesterday, I again turned off sedation when I took over the patient, weaned off Levo again, and the family thanked me profusely. I asked about extubation and the MD said it wouldn't happen for 24 hours because they wanted to do a TEE, but don't do it on Sundays. The family was devastated. I educated them throughout the stay about the care provided, like preventing ventilator-associated pneumonias, so they asked the right questions. Quote, So why are we keeping them on the ventilator? Is it only because it's easier to do it with the TEE, with the tube in place? Aren't you worried that he'll get pneumonia from being on the ventilator? The MD was pissed. Told the family it was because he was an AFib and required pressors. I told the MD the pressors had been off for 4 hours, and the past 2 days, he only required pressors while he was on sedation, and that his AFib was diagnosed 8 months ago. RT backed me up, and we advocated hard for the patient and family. 20 minutes later, we successfully extubated the patient. Next, quote, I recently started in a new ICU, and they always have a radio going at the nurse's station. Not kitschy grocery music, or things that come across trying to be professional. Like top 40, rap, country, you name it. It helps so much with my mental health at work. I recently asked, who chooses the music? It's the patient. Each day we let the patient or their families choose the type of music from a different room. Why? So patients have hype music when they walk or wheel them around the nurse's station. The attitude at this hospital is, even if they aren't walking, we get our patients out of bed and out of the rooms, whether it's just around the nurse's station, to the waiting room, to the courtyard, whatever, just change the scenery. Delirium is at an all low here. Anyway, after meeting so much resistance to mobility at my previous contract, I can't tell you how good it is for my heart to be at this one. Next, quote, one of my new nurses in the ICU that I've explained mobility and sedation project to came and got me yesterday and told me she got her vented patient up to the chair. She's still in training, so she was able to convince her preceptor to help her do it. It was awesome. People are really trying after I explain everything to them. Next, quote, our floor has a new ICU team of MDs and NPs. One of the NPs of the team introduced us to your Instagram account yesterday, and for the first time, we got our vented patients up to the chair. Next, quote, I was on the burn and trauma unit half of this week and had a contact precaution lady. I had no one to help me move her with a lift or a slider into the chair. When my attending asked why she wasn't up in the chair, I told him. He had a team of residents, fellows, and med students and still went in without hesitation. He was gowning up and saying, okay, I'll help. Let's go. Kaylee, I cried. I had never felt more supported. He didn't even bat an eye. He wasn't mad at me. He just identified a gap in support and took the initiative to fill it. Next, quote, I took my vented patient outside today. We are palliatively extubating tomorrow. There were a lot of hoops to jump through, but we did it. The patient is awake and alert on the vent, so I think it was therapeutic for them too. They saturated better as well. Next, this comment is from a team I had visited a few weeks ago. They followed up and said, we got an intubated patient up and walking. The nurse manager went up to the nurse and said, okay, let's get this patient up and walking. It took a village because we are not used to it. Yet the patient did so good. The family was next to him, cheering him on. We are meeting with the rest of the team tomorrow to see what we can do as a team to promote an awake and walking ICU. Next, this is from a speech language pathologist. They said, after 6+ months of work, we finally got our SLP, trach, and vent protocol up and running. Auto consult and all trachs and starting to do inline passing mirror valve placement. Our first patient was a CVIC patient status post 30-day intubation. Within 1 week, he was wearing a speaking valve all day on a regular diet, asking me for a margarita. By week two, he was decannulated. These stories from new ICU revolutionists are so inspiring and incredible to me. About a week ago, I was reached out to by a visionary trauma intensivist. She had the classic trauma patient with rib fractures, severe pain, and a drug withdrawal. She was having a hard time getting the team to turn off the Versed drip because he was, quote, out of control. He had an unclear history, but we started troubleshooting, trying to manage his withdrawal and pain. They kept his fentanyl drip going. They started clonopin down the feeding tube to cover benzodiazepine withdrawal and anxiety. They started some Seroquel 50 BID with some other non-opioid pain management down his feeding tube, and they gave him a champion nurse. She was able to get his drip down and transition to Presidex. She started communicating with him and figured out that he needed to have a bowel movement, that he needed more Dilaudid, etc. It would have been very helpful to have an epidural for his rib fracture pain, but anesthesia was nervous. Yet shortly after, he was extubated. A huge success for this trauma ICU. Wherever you're at in your journey, count your successes. Celebrate them. Share them with us. Share them with your team. We are all in this together as ICU revolutionists. We get to determine the future of our patients and the future of critical care medicine. Thank you for bringing the transformation. schedule a consultation for your ICU, as well as find supportive resources such as the free ebook, case studies, episode citations, and transcripts, please check out the website www.daytonicuconsulting.com.